Guys, welcome to The Pulse. As you know, we like to bring people into the studio, explore their stories. And today we've got a guy, I don't even know how to define you, man. Chill Moody here with us. I mean, hip hop artist is true.
Right.
Businessman is true.
For sure.
Ambassador for the city.
For sure.
Activist. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Look, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming in.
I've always tried to always tell people, I'm trying to have so many things under my name. Like when I'm sitting with Ellen, it'll be like my name and then like 50 things under my name.
Just
like
it's keep just, going.
It's just all about what's under your name.
And there's a lot. We always, this might take a minute, but I ask people all the time, like, how are they known? Define themselves. Mm-hmm. And you got 50 things under your name. But when people ask you, how do you define you?
I lead with I'm a hip hop artist, you know. Throughout whatever I'm doing, hip hop kind of got me here. You know, my entry point was rap. And because of how the music industry was kind of shifting, just to put it simple, to make money, you had to do other things. So I kind of turned into, you know, this serial entrepreneur, if you will, and started, you know, developing more brands and, you know, just finding different avenues to make revenue. You know what I mean? So it started with hip hop. Hip hop got me here, but I am an entrepreneur. I am a businessman. But most importantly, I'm from Philly. You know, Philly pride is just through and through. So I want it to be synonymous. When you think of Philly, you should, you know what I mean, think of Chill. Somewhere down the line.
And that's always been.
Yeah, always.
It's interesting because a lot of people, especially nowadays, the goal is to not be Philly. I mean, Philly tends to hold on.
Yeah.
But the goals to be, you know, I'm
worldwide.
So much
right,
more.
Right, right.
Why?
That was always weird to me. You know what I mean? I would hear those people say that, and I would see how, you know, the people around me who were still in Philly, reacted to that. And it's like, you know, you can't really turn your back on what you are, regardless of if you're bigger than it or, you know, whatever the case may be. You can't really put on for your city leaving and saying, you know, I'm not that anymore. I'm bigger than that. No, you still are that. You may have moved on, but you still are that. You know, you were born here, you were bred here. So I always just carry that with me. And it's not like, you know, no disrespect to anybody. This ain't Wichita. This ain't Smallville. This is Philly. Like it should mean something to say I'm from Philly. So, yeah. You know, it just made sense to me.
It's interesting because and all of you have achieved levels of success, but people that you're associated with, mm-hmm. you're still cool with. And, you know, the Freeways, the Tierra Wax, mm-hmm. You could start naming names.
Right, right, right.
Is that a Philly thing? Because I feel like a lot of people, even as you go global, you're like, hold on, I'm put on for my city.
Yeah, I think so. And it's definitely generational. So I can say, you know, starting with a state prop and a freeway, mm-hmm. those guys kind of shifted that focus of, you know, I'm bigger than Philly. It was like, no, we're big and we're taking Philly with us. And it kind of, I think, started from there. In a sense, because some guys prior to that, you know, may have, you know, Philly turned their back on us, so we're turning our back on Philly, kind of, sort of, you know.
So we're, as you know, we're on in Philly,
mm-hmm.
but we're also on national.
Right, right, right.
So what do you say to the national audience about why that should mean something? Like,
I mean, they love us. They love Philly flavor. You know, whenever I travel, you know, they love what we bring to the table. You know, we take this, we have this initiative called Homesick Philly. And we travel around. We've activated at the Grammys. We've activated at South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas. And we basically just convert that venue, wherever that venue is, into Philadelphia. So the last one we had the Super Bowl playing on the TV the whole time we were there, the Super Bowl that the Eagles won. There was water ice, there was cheesesteaks, there was pretzels, but there was also like a panel with, I interviewed Ty Carmichael from La Colombe. We had Najee Good, who was playing for the Eagles at the time, being interviewed. And, you know, it just felt like Philly music playing the whole time. DJ Jazzy Jeff, you know, DJed at the end of the night. Yeah. And, you know, you just see how people react to what we know to be regular, to be normal. But they're like, oh, this is cool. And I'm like, yeah, we try to tell y'all.
yeah, right? We've been saying it for
but incentivizing them in that to then come and visit Philly. Like, this is just a taste. But, yeah, I mean, come see what we really do.
That's an interesting transition because you got the city ambassador title. I could see why.
Where,
but what was that all
so
about?
So it was an initiative with Councilman David O. This might have been like 7-8 years ago at this point. an initiative called PHL Live Center Stage. And it was just a quick synopsis of it was like a battle of the bands meets like an award ceremony. So it was every genre from jazz to hip hop to R&B to country, whatever, competing against each other to in different venues around the city for like a week to then perform at an award show at the end of the whole joint. And each winner of each genre would win $1,000 and a bunch of other stuff. I was chose to like kind of help spearhead that as the Philadelphia Music Ambassador. Through that, you know, we developed the Philadelphia Music Industry Task Force, and I was like a founding member in that. But it's just really just kind of like a tireless effort to put the city on, but also put artists on in the city, you know, develop platforms for independent artists in the city to make sure that, you know what I mean, they get a chance to shine and we lift as we rise type situation.
Still on for your city.
Yeah, yeah, got to.
You know,
is it cool fun. If I crack a beer? I won't throw you off. But.
It's all right with me. So, perfect segue. Generally, I would join you with one of those, but that's a perfect segue to your many businesses.
Word.
So, what is this?
This is Nice Things Hazy IPA. It's the first offering from Nice Things Beer, my like official brewery. My, you know, what I mean, we're officially licensed and doing what we got to do out here independently as you know, moving these beverages. So we got kombucha, we got some other products on the way, but right now we're moving this Nice Things Hazy IPA, and these are actually the first cans off of the
line. It's just out.
Just came out last Friday. We two Fridays ago actually we released it on draft. And now we're in the cans, and hopefully you'll be seeing these joints everywhere. It's a great summer, you know what I mean, orange situation, so it's going to look good throughout the, you know what I mean?
All things good, Philly. I feel like we should put the thing up on the screen, because we're going to do a joint count also. Because I was trying to see how long.
I really can't help it.
But that's Philly.
I can't help it.
We had to work on it. Like, I got to the point where, in casual conversation, it just happens.
The worst is in like business emails when like you can't help but write John in there, and it's like, what do y'all want me to do? Like,
so we got the beer,
yeah.
We got the kombucha that you do also,
yeah.
You had sneakers,
yeah.
Yeah, coffee?
No, not coffee. No coffee yet.
Wait, what else?
Moody's Clubhouse.
Yeah,
It's a lot of things. It's another brand, another extension of the Nice Things brand, of the Chill Moody brand. But Moody's Clubhouse, we shot a TV show. We shot a pilot season for this TV show, Moody's Clubhouse. I've been describing it as like NPR's Tiny Desk, but louder, and Drink Champs, but like a little quieter. So artists come, they perform three songs with our live house band, who happened to be led by Eugene Man Roberts, is John Legend's entire band. They signed on to be our house band for Moody's Clubhouse. Artists come, they perform three songs with our house band, and then they sit with me at the bar and drink either my beer, my wine, or my kombucha.
So there's wine too.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you started in all this, look, I'm a little jealous. I got, like, you know, the pulse of water.
Pulse water.
So when you got started, right, and you said hip-hop got you started, so what was the goal after you did that? Because now it's, what's Jay-Z line? I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman.
Man.
Yeah. Was that always a goal, or you just...
Yeah, it was always, you know, I'm multifaceted. I always wanted to do, you know, a lot of different things. I had a candy shop in front of my mom's house when I was like 7 or 8, and like, instead of going to the corner store, you know, come shop with me type situations. Like I was always on it. But I think the natural, I guess, trajectory of it was, you know, we start throwing concerts, and you sell your CDs. This is back in the day, CDs. Right. No, we sell the CDs at the concert. And you know, the next time a person comes to the show, they're not buying the CD again. They already have the CD. So now I have to increase the opportunities for you to support me. So, all right, now we got t-shirts, now we got hoodies, now we got these things. But then as it, you know, continued, I noticed people were drinking whatever we were drinking. Back then, we were drinking Jameson. So the bar would come to us after the shows like, yo, we sold 17 bottles of Jameson tonight. We've never done that, especially for a hip-hop concert. So I'm like, damn, maybe we should holler at Jameson and see what's up with them. And we did some work with them for a couple years and a bunch of events. They sponsored some dope events and some dope initiatives we put together. But after that, it was like, all right, that only can go but so far. What if we were Jameson? What if they were drinking, you know, our beer? So, or our liquor or whatever, you know, it ended up being beer. And that was just kind of like the natural, I guess, process of that whole.
So it's natural to you.
Yeah.
But is it, because you've been doing this for a minute. I mean, mm-hmm. You've been doing this for a minute.
Hip hop. I'm no spring chicken.
Right. You're not new to the game. But you've been doing it long enough to kind of see that from selling your own CDs mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. the shirts. Is that the new normal, or did you just get it first?
It should be. And I don't think what I was doing was anything that wasn't normal. Because, you know, I studied 50 Cent. I watched how Queen Latifah and Ice Cube and, you know, these people found multiple ways to make bread. But hip hop was, you know, what got them in the position in the first place. Jay-Z, of course, like you watch these people. But I guess like as an independent artist, maybe it was new or whatever. But now I do feel like it's the new normal. Like, and the artists are getting into music almost knowing that, hey, this music is just a marketing tool for this other situation that I got going on. And they're kind of leading in with that. So it's a little different now as that new normal. Because with me, the passion is still music. Like I was writing a song on the way here, like just new beats that I'm listening to all the time. Like I still love to make the music and do all of that stuff. But because of streaming and, you know, with COVID shutting touring down for a minute, you got to find other ways, you know what I mean, move out here. So
is that the new message? I feel like the new message for young people, like when you're talking to young people, and now what was I reading that producer chill, you know, it's something that's because you don't have nearly enough titles.
Right.
So that's out there too. It seems like people have always had this. The hard grind, and I got to get a million followers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then maybe it seems like this kind of message to young people, to the next generation, is just own your own stuff.
You should.
Yeah, that's changing the game. That's what you tell them.
Yeah, own it. You know, partnerships are important. You know, you can't necessarily, you own 100% of something that's not really moving, you ain't really doing nothing. But if you own 50% of something and you got a partner like a Live Nation or somebody that can help move it the rest of the way, then, you know, that's a good deal. Especially if that's not your only thing that's going on. But it's important not to be monolithic. You know, it's important to be able to, you know, express your versatility in whatever you do. And none of it's forced. I mean, you know, I'm not the kombucha. When somebody when they came to me, when my guy Schroeder, he came to me with the kombucha idea. Originally, I was like, you know, what's kombucha? Like, what the hell is kombucha? Right. And then I go and meet Olga and everybody at Baba's Brew, and they school me on the process. And, you know, now I get to taste the product, and I'm like, oh, your product is way better than any kombucha that I've had. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Like, it made sense. I live a healthier lifestyle than most. I try to, at least, you know. I do drink beers in the middle of the day, but, you know, we'll figure that part of it out. Everybody's not perfect, but but no, yeah, it just makes sense that the things that I think they make sense, you know what I mean? So yeah. Jumping into producing now, I've always been producing, but like during the pandemic, I started like making beats, like literally putting my hands on the keyboards and all that, and trying to really learn that, as opposed to just pointing fingers and saying, yo, put the drums here, yo, you should, let's put this group together or whatever. But because I've done that side of producing, it kind of helped me on the other side of it. So now we're making beats, I'm scoring shows and films and things like that. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff.
What's Nice Things?
Nice Things is
kind of a label for,
yeah. Nice Things is a well, first and foremost, it's just a way of life. It's an understanding that appreciating whatever you have is nice things, and knowing that comparison is the thief of joy, and not, you know, or he's got the Benz, but, you know, I got this bus pass, but I'm getting to work every day and I'm providing for my family. That's nice things. It originated on a block called the Dome. We call it the Dome. On 50th and Catherine, and just hanging out with my older cousins, they used to always say, you know, we got a lot of nice things. We got nice things, and we in the hood, but it's nice things. We enjoying it. And as hip hop picked up, we were always, I just always said nice things. The way I say John, I just always said nice things. So when music picked up, people just gravitated towards that whole nice things movement. And I understood early on that it was important for the Chill Moody brand to be separate from all the other stuff that I did. So when I jump into the beer, when I jump into the kombucha, just other stuff I might jump into if I drop a fragrance or something like that. I don't want what's happening with Chill Moody, the musician, to influence that negatively. Not that it would, because I'm not out here drawing, but you know, you might not like this music, but you're going to love this beer. And I don't want those things to necessarily be synonymous. Like, if that's the case, it would just be called Ralph Lauren. It wouldn't be called Polo. You know what I mean? So it was like, all right, let me have something that can kind of separate it. So Nice Things became the umbrella brand for all of the other stuff that I'm doing.
That matters to you. The positive image associated with your name. That seems really
I can't have my family out here looking crazy like, yo, you know what I mean? Look at what he's doing out there. Like, look what your cousin's doing. Look what your son is doing. Like, he's wild. I got to be a reflection of, you know what I mean, the people that bought me up, the people that whose opinions matter most to me, honestly. Like, I started rapping to fit in with my big cousins, you know, just to be able to hang out with them. They're 10, 12 years older than me, but, you know, I'm into Mobb Deep. I'm into Prodigy and you know, stuff they was listening to then. So I'm like, how can I fit in with them? I do the knowledge. I start learning about stuff. I grew up on Wu-Tang and all of that. But then it was like, all right, what's my thing? It's like, oh, my little cousin rap. Like, so I start rapping. And it was like, oh, I found my space within that. And that's really what started it all. And then everything just kept going. I got better at it and just kept going.
I remember, and I ask this a lot when I sit down with people, because it's always interesting to me the things that people don't know. About the people that they think they know.
Right,
they,
right.
They know your music, or they know the beer, or they know the kombucha, they know Chill.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know that you and a bunch of people were doing the big cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there that day with you guys, and I was surprised to sit there. I went to talk to you, but I went to talk to Tierra Whack as well.
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, I'm not, respectfully.
That's not what we were trying to do.
Not out here
right,
for that.
Right.
So first, tell us what the big cleanup
is. It's an initiative started by a group of collectives, a collective of creatives, my fault.
Mm-hmm.
We met at Rec Philly under the invitation of Gianni Lee and Aaron over at Babylon Cartel. They invited us out and was just like, we need to figure something. This is in the midst of, just to paint the picture, the National Guard was in Philly in the hood, like just posted on blocks because of uprising and all of that stuff and whatever that is. And we were like, something's got to shake. We got to change the optics in some way. What can we be doing? And a lot of ideas were thrown around, but the big cleanup kind of birthed from that, because, you know, we all remember a time when communities came out together and, you know, every Sunday or Saturday, you know, there'd be a block cleaning and you get to meet your neighbors and talk to your neighbors and talk about what's going on in the neighborhood. And it was more joyous. And it looked way better than a tank sitting on the corner of 52nd and Media. And I can't go to the corner store because I'm fearful of something I've never seen before. You know what I mean? So it was like, all right, let's change the optics of all of this. And it just blossomed into something even bigger than we all could imagine. So now we're in our third year and just moving around the city, different hood every last Sunday of the month. And, you know, just brooms up, just out there cleaning. But it's also, there's a mental health aspect to it as well. So we're doing healings in the beginning of the programming and reaching out to the community in that way. So, like, the big cleanup is more metaphorical than it seems. Yeah, we're out there with the brooms, but we're also trying to clean our communities from the inside out and from the outside in. You know what I mean?
Well, and that part becomes apparent if you go out there.
Yeah, once you're there, it's real hard to explain that. But when you're there, you kind of feel like, oh, this is bigger than this push broom. You know what I mean?
And it's real. Like when you, because you go out there and people who are very successful in various fields,
mm-hmm.
don't talking to each other and everybody's social and talking to people as you walk through neighborhoods. And I put the drone up in the air so you can see people
who
were moving around. But there's people pushing brooms, mm-hmm. you know, and cleaning stuff up.
Yeah,
you guys,
out there to work.
Nobody was out there to be seen.
Nobody wanted, like, that's not what it was about. you know, see the shirts, see the uniformity in it or whatever, see what the message is. But I think WAC actually was the one that kind of coined it when we were walking around. People was like, yo, what are y'all doing out here? She was just like, just cause. And that's made the most sense out of anything. It was like, why not? Like,
yeah. Is that something more people could should? I mean, it's not easy.
Because not at
it's
all.
Work.
Yeah.
But that type of collective, it hopefully exists in most cities.
Well, I mean, what I would say is, I ain't saying you know, go and try to create a big cleanup, but the importance is what we did in the very beginning is got together and said, look, we need to do something. And start there. So everybody should at least be doing that. Come together and just figure out what can we do? We should be doing something. And there's more things, like I say, there's more things we're going to do with the big cleanup. But, you know, it just was an act of necessity in a sense.
We talked about a lot, so we haven't talked about your music, and we will.
Because I got bars.
We're sitting here having beers, got bars. I was reading that and trying to figure out how you got here, mm-hmm. like became this person. That your grandfather was somebody who was important to you.
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents solely, period, like all of them. But yeah, my grandpa, he's screensaver on my phone. My grandmother, both my grandmothers, like yeah, my grandparents were very important. The older I got, the more I understood the structure of my family, and understood, you know, the matriarch role that my grandfather had when he was here. And you kind of want to mimic that. You want to live in that, you know what I mean? Because in a sense, you know, if we talking scientifically, I'm a part of that. You know what I mean? That is in me. So it's like, how can I find ways to latch on to what he was trying to build and carry on that mission of, you know what I mean? Keep this family together, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Bars.
Yeah.
All right. So you've gone through a period of time where you release new music every Monday.
Every Monday, Moody Monday. Yeah.
Moody Monday, performing, traveling. So where are we now and what's coming up next for you?
I keep telling everybody, but the album's done. It's coming. I'm going to drop the album in August.
All right, you're putting it out there.
Okay. Which means nothing because I've said I'm going to drop the album in June and April, and I've said mad different things, but I'm going to drop the album in August. Yeah, the album's done. I keep creating. So I'm making music. Like I said, I told you, I was just writing a song on the way here. My guy Sam Live sent me a beat, and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to write this right now. And I've gotten into that space where it's like a artist or a producer will send me a beat in a text message or something, and I'm sending it right back within 24 hours, like a full song. I don't know. It's just been like that recently. So like I'm creating, and I'm moving off of this logic that Jazzy Jeff kind of brought up was this logic of dying empty. Like, you know, that music ain't doing nothing on your hard drive. Like, you know, when you're gone, like make sure you have all of that out. So I'm trying to, that's how Moody Mondays was kind of birthed. And I'm like, we're putting out a new song every week because I just got a hard drive filled with like more and more music. And it's only piling up. Is borderline hoarder behavior with the music.
Hoarding music.
Yeah, my own music. But yeah, the album's coming out. I got Mike Zombie on the album producing, Hank McCoy, of course, Critical, a bunch of people, 183rd. Sam Live, I talked about Sam Live, West Manchild, of course, a bunch of people. But the album's coming out. We still got time. Don't worry.
When you're done with all this, a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. When you're done with all this, you know, I know, right? When you're done with all this, what do you hope is the highlight of your career? What do you hope people know you for?
Shit. Highlight. What do you know me for? I don't think I've figured that out yet. I think that's why I'm doing so many things. Like, just keep working and know me for this or that. Like, you know, your entry to Chill Moody could have been beer, and you came to a beer release, and I just happened to pick up a microphone, and you're like, oh wow, this guy raps, and raps at a high level. Like, I'm pretty good. I feel like I'm really good at this. Yeah, I don't want it to be one thing. Yeah, because I'm not one thing. You know what I mean? I'm not monolithic at all. So just know me for that, for me. Like, you know, damn, Chill did a lot of things. Like, he was able to, you know what I mean, do a lot. Like, you know what I mean?
What do you say? And you keep saying, I don't put people on the spot. I told you this. But I will. I mean, we're sitting here, we're cracking open beers. Oh, we're talking about, I don't have a beat for you, which probably makes it that much easier. You
just, what's the, so I don't curse in my music, so I ain't really got to worry about that. But like, yeah, you say we're national.
No
TV,
rules,
we're,
man. You do no your rules. Thing.
All right, let me see. They call him a poet. Got me feeling like they just taking notice. It's all Gucci. Look at my opponent. I've been roaming since enrollment. Floating off the potent, mixing potions. Time flies. That's consequence of living in the moment. We was taught to have no worries. And through it all, every day it'd be its own journey. We do it all with intention. Move with a purpose and understanding that anything imagined can be manifested. Started with a dream, then a plan. Explained the schemes to my man. Stayed close to the fan, put our teams on the grams. Motivated from them days, we split fees for them cabs. Stayed 10 toes down, now got our feet in the sand. I swear we grinded so long they thought our timing was off. Started doubting me, I'm kinda appalled. This the album where that problem resolves. I seen it all, no mirage. Won't get the credit till your show going off. But we still got time. That's all I got.
Hey, look.
That's just fresh on my mind
you're
right
not
now.
Supposed to. You finished that. I'm supposed to have a mic that you could have dropped. You don't finish that and then say that.
Mic drop
all
or
I
beer.
Got.
Mic drop or beer lift. It's the same thing.
We were sitting here having beers and then freestyling and doing our thing. All right. So we talked about all of that. The what's next. I think your whole existence is about using your voice for good in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But we end all of our shows. Excuse me. Talking to people about how they use their voice for good. Or if you could inspire people, I don't know if there's something right now that's most important to you. What do you want people to do?
I want people to find their space within what's going on. And excuse me. That happens when you drink beer.
It's take two.
What I want people to do is find their space in whatever's going on in the world and take some action. That if marching's your thing, by all means, go do that. If your space is behind the podium and, you know, chasing political whatever, and find a way and do something. If your thing is simply just informing people of the issues and finding those people who can then march or podium it up or whatever. Find your space and what's going on, and don't just sit back and act like nothing's happening. Like, you know, and I'm speaking directly to our culture when I'm saying these things. It's like, strength in the numbers, unity over all type situations. Like, find a way to connect with what's going on. Find your space in it. Don't force nothing. You know what I mean? Everybody ain't meant to be a frontline boy, and that's cool. But find your space in it and do something, because we need you. We need everybody. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's the mic drop.
Word.
I appreciate you, man. No. The Nice Things beer is now out.
Yeah.
The kombucha is
nice
always
kombucha.
Out.
Yep.
And you involved in picking the flavors and all that kind of stuff.
I'm in there. I'm picking the hops. I'm doing a lot of things, man.
The wine's out.
The wine's coming.
The sneakers were a collector's item.
No, the sneakers are out. We've done two pairs so far. We got another pair coming in fall.
We had LeVar Ball on, man. You should get with Big Baller.
I like what he was doing. I like what he was doing with the $300 Big Baller brand John. Yeah.
So that's out. And most importantly,
the album is coming.
It's coming out.
Maybe August.
In August. Like, the plan is August. All right.
The album drops when the world needs saving, man.
We appreciate you. We're done now, so I'm going to crack a beer with you.
There we go.
They're turning off the cameras. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Okay, so that was fun. Thank you for listening to The Pulse. Today with hip-hop artist and entrepreneur Chill Moody. I've known Chill, and I knew a lot of the different things that he was doing, but even I was surprised at all the avenues he's branching out to. And I think it's inspiring to people who have a goal, an idea, a vision, all of those multiple streams of both income and impact. So I thank him for spending some time with us. Gotta make sure I pick up one of those beers and enjoy it with him next time. Guys, if you're in Philly and you would like to watch the show, all you have to do is check us out 6:30 on Mondays on Fox 29. Nationally, you can watch us on Fox Soul Mondays at 9 o'clock, and then the shows are always available on demand. So please subscribe here to the podcast and make sure you check out the show. Follow me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. And we'll be back again to do it same time next week. Until then, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good day.